friends. Welcome to the Now is the Time podcast, where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. This is episode number one, and today we're going to be talking about how to gain a hunger and desire for God's Word in our life, and what to do when we don't have that passion for His Word in our life. Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you look forward every morning or every evening or whenever you sit down to read the Bible? Do you look forward to that? I don't know about you, but probably if you're like me, you've had times where that's been maybe a struggle for you. You know that you need to read God's Word. You understand that it's important, but yet when it comes down to it, there's just not a real big desire and passion in your heart to do it. Now, that doesn't mean you don't do it. Maybe you read it anyway, and that's great. You sit down, you read, but you know, it would be nice to have that passion. It would be nice to have that hunger when we open God's Word to earnestly be seeking truth and revelation in our lives. So what do we do? What do we do when we don't have that hunger? Yet we know that we need to read. We know that we need to learn more about God. How do we deal with that problem in our life? I think many Christians find themselves in that area of life when they just say, wow, I'd rather watch TV or sit down in front of the computer, browse the internet a little bit or something. And there's just a lack of desire to read God's Word. Well, let me start today by just sharing with you a little story. Recently, our family was on vacation, and you can check out a recent blog post I did about that. We went to Western Ukraine to the Carpathian Mountains. And every day, just about every day, we went on a hike. Well, one day we decided to go on a hike. It was a particular beautiful day. There had been some rainy days, so we really wanted to get a good hike in. And we got all the kids together. We've got five kids, and the youngest is 3 years old, the oldest is 13, and drove a little ways to where we knew the trail started. And we started hiking up this trail. Well, we thought it would be maybe an hour and a half hike. Well, an hour turned into 2 hours, and we kept climbing and kept climbing. I had our three-year-old on my shoulders, and the sun was coming out. It was getting a little bit warm. But we really wanted to make it to the top of this mountain. So we just kept going and kept going. Well, as you can imagine, sooner or later, our stomach started rumbling a little bit. We had water with us, but we didn't bring any food. And we started getting hungry. Well, I had been on this trail before, so I knew that way up there at the top of the mountain, there was a little log cabin. And in the summers, the shepherds live in that cabin, and they probably had some food, although I didn't know for sure. So I told my wife, Christine, I said, well, let's make it up to this pasture that's way up there in the mountain, and then I'll go further up through that mountain, up that hill to that cabin. I'll see, maybe those shepherds will have some food. So we made it to the beginning of this pasture, and there we could see that log cabin up on the top of the hill, another 20-25 minute walk up a very steep hill. And I took off with the boys, put our youngest on my shoulders, and started heading off up this steep incline. And as I climbed, I just prayed, Lord, please let there be some sort of food up at the top of this hill, because what a discouragement it would be to get up there and for no one to be there and there not to be any food. So I just kept going one step in front of the other. And after about 25 minutes, we made it to the top of the hill. Wind was blowing up there. Beautiful, beautiful view of the scenery down below and the river. But I still didn't see any sign of anyone in this cabin. It had very small windows that were just kind of covered with plastic. It was very basic, no electricity up there. But as I rounded the corner towards the front door, I heard a fire crackling, and I called out, "Hey, anyone there?" And a man came to the door, and he invited us in. And as we walked in, it was just this amazing scene. It was like we just went 100 years into the past. They had this giant pot where they were boiling the milk and making cheese, probably about a 200 or 300 gallon pot where they were boiling the cheese. There was a fire right in the middle of the floor, no chimney in this cabin. And so I said to them, I had a little bit of money. I said, "Can we maybe buy some cheese from you or something?" They said, "Well, you know, we just sent all of our cheese that was ready off to market." But then they said, "Here's a loaf of bread. Why don't you take it?" I tried to pay. They didn't want to take any money. And then they gave me two big chunks of sala. Now, sala is a Ukrainian delicacy, but it's something that most Americans don't like. What it is smoked pork fat. So they gave me two pretty good-sized chunks, probably half a pound or so, of this smoked pork fat. And we took it, thanked them, talked a little bit, and then started heading back down the mountain because the girls were down there waiting, anticipating that we would bring them some food. And of course, we made it down, back down to where the girls were waiting a lot quicker than we had gone up. And they were so glad to see that bread and even that sala. And you know, I took a couple of bites of that sala, and I'm not a big fan of sala. I mean, just to eat that straight pork fat is kind of something different. But you know, I took a few bites of that. I said, "Christina, this has to be the best sala I have ever eaten." I said, "It's got to be better." She said, "You know what? It's really just the same as you've always had." But you know, what was the difference, friends? The difference was how hungry I was, how much I desired some sustenance, some food in my life to strengthen my body. And so we sat down there on a log and we ate that whole loaf of bread and we ate that sala before we turned around and started heading down the mountain. And we felt so much better. But boy, the simplicity of just a loaf of bread and some pork fat, one of the best meals I have ever tasted. And you know, I think there are a lot of good comparisons when we talk about God's Word. Why do we not hunger something that we know, at least in our minds, we intellectually know that we need? And I would like to propose to you that one of the main reasons that we don't desire God's Word is because we have filled our minds with too much junk information. Of course, with the internet, with YouTube, with Twitter, with TV, with radio, our minds are constantly intaking all kinds of information. And we need to be careful. We need to filter that. And we need to make wise decisions about what kind of information we allow into our minds. And all too often, we allow junk to fill our minds. Now, you can imagine that if we had been even on that same hike and all as we climbed up that mountain, I had been feeding the kids candy bars and M&Ms and different candies and things. We would have gotten up to the top there. Nobody would have been particularly hungry for anything. In fact, when you're filled with sweets and all kinds of junk food, a loaf of bread or a slice of bread and a little pork fat doesn't sound appetizing at all. And I think that oftentimes that happens with us as we fill our mind with junk, things on the TV, things on the internet. You know what? There's so much junk in there that we are not hungry for God's Word. We need to eliminate some of that junk in order to produce a true hunger for God's Word. You know, another reason why I think that we fail to have a deep hunger for God's Word is because we really fail to have a hunger for God. After all, hunger for God's Word isn't really just hunger for the words that we find in Scripture. The ultimate source and root of that hunger is a desire to know God. It's a desire to understand better the character and nature of the God that we worship. And I'm reminded of how David wrote in Psalm 42, he said, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants after you, God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" David is such a great example as one who sought after God, as one who hungered for God, had a passion for God, had a heart for God, and that heart for God also gave him a heart and a passion for God's word. Like we also see in Psalm 119, where he talks about the wonders of God's word. You know, when we really cultivate that deep, abiding passion for God in our lives, we cannot help but have a hunger for his word. You know, it's just like my relationship with my wife. I love my wife. I love her deeply. And you know, because I do love her deeply, her words are so wonderful for me. I long to have that conversation with her when I have been gone. I long to hear her words. I long to talk with her. I long to hear what she has to say to me. And really, that is the source for our hunger of God's word. It's because we really hunger God. And we need to remember that it's really about God. It's not just about an intellectual knowledge. It's not just about memorizing some verses. It's not just about helping us to live a little bit better or giving us some tips in life. It is about knowing the living God and having a relationship with him. And when we focus on that, that will certainly give us that passion and hunger for God's word that we so desperately need in our life. You know, another reason that I think often people do not hunger God's word is because they have very little exercise in their life. Another thing that we noticed actually when we were on this vacation last week, every day we were hiking, and although we were maybe even eating more than we usually do, we were still hungry for every meal. Why? Because we're putting out a lot more energy. We were just putting out that energy and we had to replace it. You know, sometimes if we are so comfortable in our lives, if we never engage in ministry, if we always run away from conflicts and problems and trials that God puts in our lives for a specific reason, then we never really exert spiritual energy. And you know, I have found personally in my life, those times when I have so deeply hungered and desired God's word are those times when there is the greatest spiritual output in my life. When I am engaged in spiritual battle, when I am ministering deeply to the needs of other people, those are the times that I most often feel the greatest desire for God's word in my life. But you know, when we're relaxed, sitting back on the pew, and just letting everyone else do all the work, we're not going to have as deep of a hunger for God's word as we would if we were engaged in ministry, engaged in the work that God has called us to do. Well, there's one other reason, too, that I want to mention that I think often is the result of bad habits, maybe the result of a long period of time of not being in God's word. And, you know, I would call it anorexic Christians. You see, it's kind of a funny thing. Hunger, if you don't eat for, you know, a few hours, for me, I could, you know, 3-4 hours without eating and I start to feel it. And I get hungry. And even if I go a day without eating, I'm still hungry. But For someone who has gone long enough without eating, eventually that those feelings of hunger, they leave. And you start to develop anorexia. An anorexic person who is anorexic is very rarely hungry. They have lost the feeling. They have lost their hunger by not eating, by developing habits of not eating. And how many Christians in our churches are sitting there on the pews and they are completely anorexic and they don't even know it because they don't feel that hunger for God's word because it has been so long since they have really deeply studied and felt that deepest need in their life for truth and revelation. Sometimes I wonder, you know, if we as people came into the doors of our church, if we actually physically saw their spiritual state, how different would we react? How different would we minister to some of those people? But certainly many of our churches are full of anorexic Christians. And that is only because they have gone so long without God's word. And of course, in that kind of a situation, sometimes you have to be force-fed. And at first it might not be pleasant. But by developing the habit, by regularly putting yourself into God's word and letting it speak to you, those hunger pains, they will come back. And it's something that we have to develop through time and through discipline. Another passage of scripture that I'm reminded of is we were reading through Proverbs with our children during our vacation last week. And it talks so much about wisdom. Now, wisdom is truth applied. And wisdom, obviously, is something that we get from God's word. And this is what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. He tells his son, get wisdom, get understanding. Don't forget, neither swerve from the words of my mouth. Don't forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is supreme. Get wisdom. Yes, though it cost all your possessions, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. She will bring you to honor when you embrace her. She will give to your head a garland of grace. She will deliver a crown of splendor to you. Friends, that is how we ought to approach God's word. Get wisdom, get truth, get understanding. Above all, make it the most desired thing in your life. And when we do, the results are immense. The results are far better than anything we could buy, far better than anything we could purchase in this life. So friends, my question for you today is, do you hunger God's word? Do you hunger God's word? Do you really have a passion for it? Or are you just kind of drudging through it, reading it so that you can check it off on your to-do list and get your Bible reading done and be okay with God for the day? We need to develop a passion. What are you doing? What do you need to do right now to develop a passion for God and His Word in your life?